to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
Welcome to this episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. Today, we are excited to welcome Lee Yoder, the founding and managing partner of Threefold Real Estate Investing. Now, this is going to be interesting because he actually started out as a physical therapist before he started building his own business and investing in real estate. So this will be a really great interview about how you can kind of make that transition. You may not be starting out as a real estate investor, but you can learn how to do that. And so welcome, Lee. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, Miranda. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, so why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about yourself, share some of your story about how you decided on your business path. How do you go from being a physical therapist to becoming a real estate investor and business owner?
Yeah, sure. I like talking about this story because I think it's applicable to many people that are working. I did nothing special. But yeah, I went to school, became a physical therapist, got out, was working in an outpatient clinic, which is where, you know, you or I and Miranda would go and get physical therapy. So was enjoying it, but wasn't really enjoying the hours that much just because we had to be open late, you know, because when professionals get off work, they have to still be able to come. So getting home late, my wife and I were just starting our family. That's when a lot of people start thinking like, okay, like, you know, is my schedule conducive to what my wife and I are trying to build, you know, here with our family? And it just wasn't quite. So I looked into doing home health physical therapy, which is where you drive around and see people in their own homes, mostly elderly population. And so you can do that whenever it works for them. And usually that's mid-morning and early afternoon, stuff like that. So now I'm still doing physical therapy and the schedule was great. Pay was good too. Honestly, a lot of people would get into a job like that and say, this is it. I'm staying in this for the rest of my life because pay is good. Tons of flexibility, very relaxed, not much stress at all. At least I didn't feel that way. But because of that, I was just extremely bored. Like it just wasn't fulfilling. I don't believe, you know, God made me for a job like that. So was kind of looking for something else. The company I was with then started asking me to become the clinical director, kind of come in the office and start doing some work from there. So I jumped at that opportunity just because I needed something to challenge me, something to be more fulfilling. And so got into that role, really enjoyed that and just kind of grew more and more in that role. And pretty soon I'm doing no physical therapy. So I'm full-time in the office, kind of running the whole division. Me and a partner at that company were really building out this whole division. And I was really enjoying my work. But now I'm working a lot more hours and there's not the flexibility. And I'm kind of becoming consumed by my work a little bit, like a lot of people, you know, kind of get into when you're climbing the corporate ladder. I mean, I was doing very well, you know, going on all the retreats with the company, you know, with the upper, you know, people that were, you know, kind of sought after, to, you know, to help build, because it was a startup company. So it was really exciting, really competitive. But again, now my home life is suffering. So again, we're building a family. We've got 2 young kids now, and I'm just not at home as much, not able to be there for my wife, my kids as much. Even when I am there, you know, I'm a little more stressed out, feeling like I got to work. So, you know, kind of got to a point where that had run its course and that wasn't conducive to what my wife and I and what we felt like God was calling us to as a family. So started looking like, well, how can I get out of this? But I didn't want to just go back to home health physical therapy because again, yeah, now I've got my time back and I've got my schedule, but I just knew I could not do that. Again, God did not create me to just do that kind of job. So I just knew that wasn't it either. So somebody turned me on to real estate. A buddy of mine that I was building that division with at the company gave me a real estate book. And I immediately kind of gravitated toward that. You know, then I ended up, kind of going down that rabbit hole. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, read a bunch of other books. And I'm like, okay, I think this really suits me. My dad's in construction anyway. I'd done some residential construction and college stuff like that. It just spoke to me. I'm like, I think this is my path. And so I talked to a buddy and he said, well, Lee, is there any way with your job now that you could start doing real estate on the side? Like, could you work from home a little bit, you know, when you're out on the road? And with my job, there wasn't, and a lot of jobs there aren't. So I started to think, well, if I go back to doing home health physical therapy, then I do have tons of freedom and I do have capacity. So that's what I ended up doing. I left the corporate job. I took a big pay cut at that time because that company was rewarding me for my hard work. But I went back to home health physical therapy. So now I've got a great schedule again. I'm bored, you know, because it's not challenging and fulfilling, stuff like that. But now I'm going to do real estate on the side. So that was kind of my progression of how I went from, you know, doing physical therapy and then kind of climbing the corporate ladder, but then coming back and choosing a role that allowed me to do real estate as a side hustle, which allowed me to build up my real estate portfolio until I got to the point where I could do it full time.
So very cool. So are you doing any, so are you just completely done with the physical therapy now then?
Yeah. Just of this past December. So I just left a few months ago.
So you were able to then make that transition into doing real estate full time and eventually phasing out your physical therapy clients.
Correct. Yep.
Very cool. Now you talk a little bit about, you know, finding that path, knowing that God didn't have you built for this other stuff and the calling for your family. So was that part of that need to create, you know, that need to develop your business and kind of move forward, was trying to find that calling for your family?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, it was like, well, I want to work hard. Like I really enjoy working. And frankly, I want to make money. You know, I want to make money for my family, but also like, you know, we have big goals for how much we want to give and other things we want to do. But I don't want to have a job because in my job, I was doing that. Like I was working really hard and making a bunch of money, but I say I prioritize my faith and my family. I want my schedule. You know, people say like, look at your planner, right? Like look at your schedule on your phone and that'll tell you what you prioritize. And when I was, you know, doing the corporate stuff, it was work. I didn't have that much time for my family and to do things, you know, for my church and other things we want to do. That was definitely behind it where it was like, well, what can I do where I can work hard? I can be challenged. I can have that, but I can still prioritize my faith and my family. And I just felt like I was finding that in real estate.
Very nice. So as you're starting to build this business, now you mentioned that you just sort of finished making that transition very recently. What were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome? So what were kind of the stumbling blocks that ended up in your way as you were moving forward and trying to do this real estate investing and kind of make this work?
Yeah, well, the first one, you know, so we just jumped into a single family flip. A lot of people, you know, it's an easier entry point, right? So we jump into a single family flip. And the hurdle there was we did well. So I want to say on that one, you know, maybe our profit was around 30,000, which was more than we had expected. You know, market was good back then, just like it is now. And so you can do well. The hurdle was, it was like I was back at my corporate job because it took a lot of time. It took a lot of my time. If I wouldn't have spent so much time, because I spent over 500 hours just on that flip. I kind of kept track of all that stuff. Yeah. And I did a lot of the work myself, and which I enjoyed. Again, it was good, kind of challenging work. But, you know, for my wife and my family and you know, for me, it was like, this is kind of like being back at the corporate job because I was trading so much time for money. So it was like, I'm doing this full-time job of a physical therapist, and then I add a flip on top of it. And it basically took me back to the hours that I was working at the corporate job, and I made more money. But again, I took a big pay cut. So it was like, I really had gained nothing except I was just doing something different, which I really enjoyed. But as far as having that time and being able to prioritize my faith and my family, I didn't gain anything there. So that was kind of the first hurdle that we realized, like, okay, flipping's not going to be it because that's just more trading time for your money, just doing a different way. It's just a different job.
Right. So then what did you find that kind of got you into the position where you're at now? So what did you end up deciding to do when the flip, it worked, you had your profit, you had a little extra capital. What did you do with that then to start building your business and take it kind of a different direction?
Yeah. So we went to multifamily. So we went for rentals. So hold on to what we have. And so we did a duplex next, just the smallest multifamily you can have. And it was actually a full gut rehab and we got two residents in there and we start cash flowing. Right. So we got the experience. I mean, it's just a very small scale, but all you need is a taste of that to go, okay, there's people living there and they're paying us more than all of our expenses. And we're clearing, you know, a few hundred dollars a month. And that's not enough to move the needle, but it's a proof of concept thing, right? Where you go, okay. And I always say, I think something that's in my head is always like, well, what if I did this 10 times? What if I had 10 duplexes, right? Because I could do this 10 times. It wasn't that hard to get this duplex and get it going. But it's like, let's say I can't remember for sure, Miranda, but let's say I was clearing $300 a month. It's like, okay, what if I did this 10 times? Okay, now I'm clearing $3,000 a month. That's, you know, that's real money there. $36,000 a year. That's not going to, you know, pay for all of our expenses, but we're getting somewhere. But at the same time too, that rule, it's like, but yeah, if I did this again 10 times, I'm still not meeting my goals. So for me, even after that duplex, we ended up selling that. And it was like, let's level up. Let's do more units. Let's get bigger multifamily. So that's what kind of started us that progression. The next one we did was a 16 unit. So it went from 1 to 2 to 16. And suddenly, like the 16, even after paying our partners just with that one building, I think we actually ended up selling that one too. That's part of the journey. But we were going to, you know, my wife and I maybe clear like 15 a year. So then it's like, okay, what if I did this 10 times? Now we're talking about $150,000 a year, which for us in the Midwest, and we're pretty frugal, simple people, like 150 is killing it for us. We don't even, we don't need that much money. So now it's more like, okay, now we're in the right space because if I did this 10 times, it would be more than enough. And we could bring in partners. And the thing too, on the duplex, Miranda, just real quick, we managed that ourselves. It was honestly pretty, we had great residents. It was easy, but we just didn't enjoy it. One of those things kind of felt heavy to us and felt like a burden. And it wasn't what I want to be doing. I want to be getting more assets. So once we did the 16 unit, we put in property management right away.
Right. So now what are some of the challenges then? You talked about managing it yourself. Mm-hmm. So I assume that comes with its own challenges when you're starting to do multifamily. So what are some of those challenges that come with trying to manage that multifamily situation?
Well, it's just, to me, it's just that kind of becomes a job. I mean, again, I was only doing one duplex, so it was very minimal, but really what convinced me more than anything is I job shadowed kind of a couple guys in town that had 50 units in town and duplexes, single families, all this. And, you know, riding around with them in their truck, and they have a box full of keys, all these different cups of keys, and they're driving around kind of just putting out fires all day. And like, both of these guys seem to really enjoy this, but I just knew that's not what I wanted to do. I just think if you do that, like you're choosing that's going to be your job. Like you can add a property here and there, but kind of your full-time job, what you spend most of your time doing is managing your properties. And I did not want to do that. I wanted to let somebody else do that job. I wanted my job to be acquiring properties, raising money to acquire properties. So that's just a decision for me. I know a couple of guys that do really well managing just, you know, some small multis and some single families and managing them themselves. But I just knew that's not the job I was looking for.
Very cool. Yeah. Now we talked a little bit about some of these strategies that you use to kind of level up, move on up to different multifamily properties, and also the idea of hiring a management company. What are some of the other strategies that you've been using to help you grow your business so that you can kind of scale up a little bit faster?
I think the other thing is, I'd say two things. One is finding a good property management company. To me, that just gave me so much confidence. You know, going from 2 units to 16 units was really scary. I did have a mentor. It was an unpaid mentor. I would have been happy to pay for a mentor. I think that's really important. Mine came through the Cincinnati REIA. He was leading the apartment syndication focus group. So he became a little bit of a mentor for me. I actually gave him a little piece of my first deal, that 16 unit. I gave him a little piece just because he had done so much. He didn't bring any money to the deal. I just said, hey, you've done so much for me, getting me to this point. I want you to continue to help me. Can I give you a piece of this deal? So the mentor was big. And then partnering with a property management company, knowing, so I bought a 16 unit in Dayton, Ohio. This property management company that I found before I closed on the property, they manage 800 units just in Dayton, Ohio. They don't manage anywhere else. So to me, it's like, you know, talking to them, hey, here's what I think I'm going to get for rent in these vacant units. And here's what I'm going to do. And they came out and looked at the property and they say, yeah, absolutely. We have other rentals around this area. Yes, you can get this. Yeah, we'll take care of it. I mean, that gave me so much confidence to say, like, it's not up to me to really manage the day-to-day on this property. These guys are doing it, and they're doing it for 800 other units in the same city. To me, that was so big. And then I just felt like after I got that one going, I was like, how many more can I add? Because it's, you know, once I saw them, like, just, you know, the first day is like such a big day to take over 16 units. You got to go out. I did none of that. It's the property management company that goes out, introduces themselves to every, I mean, it just seems overwhelming to me. You got to introduce yourself to all those residents. Hey, you got a new manager now. Here's how you're going to pay. Here's how you got to get your money in. Hey, by the way, does anybody have a leaky toilet? Like, does anybody have anything going on? So much going on. They took care of all of it, right? So now I'm like, I can do this because I've got this partner. And then the other part, Miranda, just real quick, and we can dig into whatever you want to, is just raising money. So partnering with people, letting people know what you're doing, talk about what you're doing, kind of sell the vision of, like, you know, if we invest our money in this apartment building, here's the cash flow we're going to make. And then, by the way, in the background, we're building all this equity. And if we ever refinance or sell, we can really make, you know, some good money off this. And also there's depreciation, all the benefits, you know, of multifamily investing, but getting investors to come alongside you, because I run out of money pretty quick, you know, on what I can buy on my own.
Yeah. Now, so let's talk for a minute about looking for the right rental management company. So if you're going to hire a rental manager, because I mean, there are crappy ones out there, of course.
Sure.
What are things, now you mentioned, hey, I like that they manage here in town, here in Dayton, they're local. Like, what are some other things that you would look for if you were looking for an apartment, if you're looking for a property management company all over again? What are some of the top things that you would be looking for?
Yeah, I think it just starts with referrals. So network, I mean, there's so many reasons to network. And in any business, you know, people will say, oh, like, don't recreate the wheel, like all these different, you know, adages, where, like, go out and talk to people that are already doing it. So go talk to people that have rental property in your area that where you're going to buy, you know, and who do you use? Do you like them? You don't like them? Okay, I'm not using yours. You know, and just get referrals. If you can find two or three different investors that are using the same property management company and they rave about them, you know, it's fair to assume you're going to have a similar experience if it's investors that you respect. So that's where you start. I do think, you know, you mentioned 800 units in Dayton. I really like that size because to me, it's like, they're very focused on Dayton. They know Dayton very well. So they're not too big where it's like they're all over the place and I just have, you know, access to a regional manager. No, I'm talking to the owner of the company, you know, so I've got access to the owner of the company. But at the same time, when you manage 800 units, you've got different people doing things. So the owner is not trying to lease the units and handle all the unit turns and go out and meet all the residents, right? They've got somebody doing each of those. So that felt like they're big enough for people to specialize and really do a good job at each piece. So I felt like that was a good size. But to me, it is really difficult, Miranda, I mean, to find a good property management company. It's just a tough business. It's one of those things, like, I think, yeah, people complain about it all the time. It's like, yeah, but you would never want to do it, right? No, I wouldn't. Because, like, it's really difficult. And so that's why they're bad. It's just a difficult thing. So I think you've got to find people that are already doing it and having, you know, good success with the property management company. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that one of your main strategies is finding partners, other investors, other people's money to go in on these deals. So how do you find those investors and how do you vet good partners on your deals?
Sure. Yeah. Part of it is just people that you know already, depending on what you're looking for. I mean, there's two things there. If you're looking for people to partner with you, like to do some of the work, that's a totally different thing than finding people that will just give you money. For the most part, I've always just been looking for people. It sounds bad, like just for people to give me money, but it's like, hey, no, I'm going to bring, it's how it works, right? Like, I'm going to bring all the hustle. I bring the expertise. I've been doing this for a while now, right? Like, I've educated myself. I've shown a little bit of a track record. You know, I did the flip, I did the duplex, and now I'm getting a 16 unit, and, you know, I've shown a little bit of track record. You've seen that. And I just don't have the capital to take it down. So if you give me your capital, so you can find those people with people that know and trust you already. That's where it started for me. So just going to people, and part of that is like sharing what you're doing. So if you're just sharing what you're doing, telling people about the flip, if it's something that you're passionate about and people can see that, and then they see that you have a success with it and you're really sticking with it. And, you know, you've been doing it now for a year or two. I mean, I just did the one flip of the year. And then the next year I just did the duplex. And then the third year I'm doing the 16 unit. And so I've just had a little bit of a track record and I've been sharing it with people. So the people I've been sharing it with, the close family and friends, they're like getting excited about it. Like, yeah, man, I went in on some of that. Right. So I think you can start there in your close circle, but then yeah, your local RIA, your real estate investment association that's in your city. Every city's got one. Start going there. Those people are already into real estate, right? That's why they come to the meetings. But you'll have a lot of people there that have never done anything. You'll have a lot of people there that are interested in real estate. And the more they find out about it, the less they want to do it actively and they just want to do it passively. So you say, okay, cool. Like that's what I like doing, the active stuff. You just be the passive partner and we'll team up. And you, again, so then you kind of have to warm them up to your track record and what you've done. And so, yeah, I think start with your close circle and then just start branching out and networking in the real estate groups that meet up. And there's some in every city.
So now you mentioned starting with your circle and your real estate investor association. But what about your family or friends? Are those people that have had an influence on your business? Are they people that you consider partnering with, or do you just try and keep that separate?
No, when I say close circle, that's what I mean. Yeah. Family and friends. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 Those are the people that I talk to. And, you know, maybe you wouldn't want to partner with all of them. You kind of ask, what are you looking for in a partner? I mean, if I'm looking for a passive investor, what I would call a silent partner, I want them to be willing to be silent. Like when I partnered with them, it was, you have to be comfortable with me making 100% of the decisions. Okay. I am the active partner. I'm the one with the experience. I'm the one going to be doing all the work. So if you want to invest your money with me, kind of think of it like the stock market, you know, like you don't control the company on the stock market. And you know, I would let them have input and talk to them about it. And it's fun. We're kind of on this journey together, but you just need to know who's in charge. And I wanted to make sure that was very clear. I'm going to be making all the decisions. I'm the one, you know, doing all the active part. You get to be a passive investor, you know, and give me your money. But that's what I would want to look for. So if you're going to partner with family, it needs to be somebody that is comfortable putting that amount of money at risk. And they're not going to be real anxious about it calling you all the time. It's got to be someone that, yes, I'll give you this $50,000 and I'm not anxious about it. If I lost it, it wouldn't be the end of me. And so I'm not going to be calling you all the time. And I'm very comfortable with just being passive. You do your thing and you give me the return you promise.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So in the process of doing this, what's some of the bad advice that you've received? Like, have you received some bad advice from people as you're moving forward with your business?
Yeah, I think people maybe are afraid to scale sometimes and afraid to go after it. So I think even some of the guys that I shadowed early on and maybe talked to were advising me more to just stay small and kind of stay within myself and just buy my own stuff and then refinance. And it's like, just build your own portfolio. Like don't bring in other people. Don't go that big, like kind of just stay small. And again, you can be very successful doing that. You can really build a nice portfolio if you want to manage it yourself. That's not what I was looking to do. And I just don't like that model. I think it's so fun and, it's just great to share the wealth. I think, you know, buying a big apartment building is so cool because we get to have other people come with us and we need that. So that's why we do it. I guess if I could buy a 100-unit apartment building, I'd probably do it on my own, but you know, not many people can. And it's neat that you get to bring a team along with you and everybody gets to share. So I don't shy away from partnering. And I don't think other people should either. I think you got to be very careful about it. Be very intentional and set it up the right way. But I think it's great to partner with people. It allows you to go bigger, faster, go farther and bring other people along with you and for them to reap the benefits. So I think for me anyway, it was bad advice to stay small, to move slow, to stay within myself and just build my own portfolio and don't partner with anybody.
Yeah. I find it interesting that so much of like whether advice is good or bad depends on like your own situation and whether it actually applies. So Yeah, that's a really good point. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So if somebody was getting ready to start in real estate today, what is one of the most useful things that you've learned on your journey that would help somebody else get started?
I think the thing you got to do first, I mean, you got to educate yourself a little bit first, obviously listen to podcasts like yours, Miranda, you know, get yourself educated, get clear on what you want. Once you've done that, I say just start networking. I think that's so big, and you don't need to go out and find a partner right away or try to leech onto somebody and, you know, ride their coattails or anything like that. That's what I'm saying. But the more you're talking to people, they can help you get even clearer on what you want to do. You know, you think like for me, hey, I want to start in flipping, and I just kind of forged my way into it. If I'd have networked with more flippers, I may still have done one. And honestly, that's kind of how it went. I just kept learning more and networking more. And by the time I was done with the flip, I was like, yeah, this isn't what I want to do. And that's through education and networking. And I think, you know, it was like, no, what fits me and what I'm looking for, what God has called me to and gifted me with is going the multifamily route. And I think the sooner you figure that out and the sooner you find people to partner with, if that's what you want to do, the better. So the more networking, the better. So I think start networking very early on. Just talking to people can even just help you get clear. Even if you decide, no, I actually want to just kind of strike out on my own and buy up some duplexes and manage them myself. That's great. But I think you're probably going to find through networking that you find other people that are doing that, that really help you figure out exactly how you want to do that and figure out if that's exactly what you want to do. So I think you can't network too early on. You can't network too much. So that would be, to me, the first step.
Yeah. So, and then finally, at what point do you, now you talked about making sure you're educating yourself, you're getting, you're doing that networking. At what point, because like a lot of the time we start gathering the information, we want to wait for it to be perfect. So mm-hmm. At what point do you say, okay, I have enough information, I've networked, and I'm ready to get started? Like, how do you kind of gauge where you go from that information gathering to actually putting your plan in place?
Yeah, that is so hard to quantify, you know, because we're imagining like we're talking to your audience now, right? And so we don't know where they're at, and they're probably sitting there like, yeah, Miranda, like, tell me, am I ready? Am I ready? It's so difficult. I mean, I definitely got to a spot where, you know, I was so ready that I just like had to go. And my wife's like, do you really think like you've learned enough? Do you think you know everything? And I was just at the point where I said, no, but I think I know everything I can learn from a book. I think I know everything I can learn from a podcast. Everything else I have to learn, I can only learn by doing it. And that's true for everyone. Like at some point, you just have to do it. So I would totally err on the side of starting too fast. You know, put some safeguards in place. Like for instance, the flip we did, mm-hmm. I knew that we could afford that mortgage. So we were able to buy that. And if we just, you know, finance that house and did all the work and we're just paying the mortgage on it and it sat empty, we could afford that mortgage. So I knew the worst case scenario on this property was not going to be enough to take us under. If you can get to that point, then go for it. But I guess I would go back to networking, Miranda. And if you're in a network of people and those people are telling you, I'm talking to you, I can tell you know enough, Miranda, like in talking with you, I can tell you, you know what you want. You've got a good plan. You know the numbers, you know how to underwrite properties, you know what to do. If people are telling you you're ready, I think that really helps. It'll give you confidence. But if somebody that's already doing it is telling you, Miranda, you know enough, you got to go, then that's a, you know, then go, then you're ready. It helps to have somebody else telling you that.
Awesome. Well, so yeah, and that goes back to that power of the good network and finding that mm-hmm. good mentor. So
yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lee. Why don't you give our audience one last look at where they can find you online if they want to learn more about you and also your website, your threefold real estate investing?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Miranda. Yeah, we're at threefold REI, like realestateinvesting.com. You can email us at info@threefoldrei.com. I have a podcast as well. It's called Threefold Real Estate Investing podcast, where we discuss multifamily investing. But as I've kind of hinted to during this interview, I'm really big on the faith and family aspect of it. So not only investing, but like is it really good for your faith in your family? Like, or is it just another job? Like the flipping was for me. And then if you jump on our website, one tool we've put together here recently, that I think is really good for people, but, it's a passion for us it's a tool or just a kind of an ebook type thing where we call it the 5 steps to passive investing for full-time dads. So that's what we're really passionate about, is helping people understand how you can use your money. Even if you don't want to be active, you can be a passive investor in a multifamily project like what we do. And it can provide you with passive income, which can really change your life and your family's life. For that full-time dad out there that feels like, you know, they're stuck in the rat race and they can't quite get ahead. And they don't want to just work more hours, because again, that means less time with the family, less time to pursue things that really mean a lot. So we feel like investing in multifamily real estate with a sponsor like us or somebody else can provide you with that extra income without having to work more, because you're doing it passively. So you get that passive income. So yeah, jump on and check that out at 34REI.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your time and your journey with us today, Lee. Don't forget to check back for another episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes, and make sure that you are signing up. Make sure to get those podcast alerts, subscribe, so that every single time we release a new episode, you have that right there in your email inbox, so that you can learn more about how you can become your own hometown real estate hero.
This is Mitch Steven, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning into the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast, /apply. We invite all our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. And also, we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe, because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the Hometown Real Estate Heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.